Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, since we are recording, I, you know, was just discussing that I want to normalize showering again coming up in the next month or so. Now that I've got that first vaccine in my arm.
You're pro shower now.
I'm pro shower. That's one of the side effects they don't talk about with the vaccine is you will suddenly desire a warm shower again.
It is. It for me, it's a significant 1 year around the sun because, yes, it is my birthday today.
Happy birthday,
thank
dear.
Thank you.
Andy.
And I'm just... Number two in choir, if you will, back out in the world, but like not without like a bit of like significance and being like, I'm pretty sure I wore the same workout clothes 1 year ago today. So at least that's something. I worked out.
That's amazing. I plan to do it later. Monday's my therapy day too, and I told my therapist, I was like, I don't know what's happened. Like I've come full circle in quarantine again, where I'm just down. I'm just so over everything, and I was like, I'm not really leaving the house much these last couple weeks. I know it's the final stretch, and she like started clapping, and she was like, get out of the house, Brooke. She just started like a dog. Like, get out there. Go. She's like, you need to get out of the house.
And like, that's why we're recording on a Monday now, because Brooke's going to be on her way to Miami, Florida for spring break.
Miami Beach. Nothing's
Here
going
she
wrong.
Comes.
Here I come. I'm going to be leading a few of the grind live at spring break dance classes, shirtless. For sure. You guys can all...
I'm the new Puck. I'll be subbing as the new Puck. Blowing Snot Rockets is back. Get ready, coming at ya. Oh boy. Well, let's start the goddamn show.
Everybody, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
And joining us today, first time on the pod, but no stranger to us as a friend. She also hosts her own podcast called Brass Taxes. Hint, hint. What are we going to be talking about? Please welcome Caroline Craighead, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Caroline.
Thank you for having me.
You got it, girlfriend. Yeah, hint, hint. We are going to demystify and maybe make you cry about taxes. But Caroline's
normalizing. We're going to normalize taxes. We're going to normalize showers. We're going to normalize taxes. It's a hot day to open up your mind, man. Be an adult. Shower. Mm-hmm. Do your taxes.
Mm-hmm. I know. So, but before we jump into that, and I promise it will be like, Caroline's got a soft touch. That's just what I can say. She's calming, she's reassuring, and she's very gentle. She's a very gentle lover, I must say. And she will hold your hand through the topic of the day. You know, she's fine with safe words, the whole thing, because I know this is going to get really triggering. But let's do some pre-shift real quick, shall we, Andrea?
Yeah, absolutely, you guys. If you haven't already, please check out all our shows on One Star Network. We've got In Your Mouth, Copper and Heat, The Macaroni Zone, Confessions of a Server, and The Modern Waiter, all over there at One Star Podcast Network on the Instagram. You can click on our great little website that'll link you to all of our awesome shows we're so pumped about. So check them all out, please, if you haven't.
Yeah, and definitely support them all by subscribing, rating, and reviewing. Please, seriously, don't be lazy. Don't just love us. You need to love them, too. We chose them. They are your chosen family, chosen by us, okay? So we promise you will love what they have to offer. So It's very exciting. It's very exciting, right? And we have a Patreon still going, yeah, which we appreciate everybody who's part of the fam. And Andrea's concocted a new slight idea for, like, a slightly new idea for a hang. Do you care to describe?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, we're kind of like, we love the server submitted stories so much. They bring us so much joy. We thought that we would invite past guests to come on, maybe even some of our Patreon members or listeners, yeah, if they're into it, to have a post shift drink, and tell a very specific story from their serving career. And just, yeah, like a quick little, like, server submitted shift drink, if you will, I think is what I'm leaning on there, yeah, for the name.
We're not so great with the tech, so we're trying to figure out how to make it so that you all can sort of, like, chime in live and watch it live. I know there are things for this.
We're checking out Twitch. What's Twitch?
It's okay. We're in our 40s. We say Twitch. It's fine.
Yeah. When we say Twitch, we just mean, like, something is moving without us, like, actually moving it on our body.
I'm thinking of back and neck spasms.
Yeah.
But anyways, cool. So you guys, that's really all we have to talk about. That's our pre-shift. Go out and have a great service, everybody.
Push those steaks, guys. Push them. We got a lot to sell.
All right. So Andrea, you can handle the first headline, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Our first headline coming in from Baltimore, Maryland. So this story is so great. So resident Brandon Jones, and this is coming from today, like the show today. Brandon Jones knew this would be a long shot, but he had to try it. His mother-in-law was in the final stages or is in the final stages of lung cancer, stopped her treatment, and she had fallen in love while visiting Baltimore with this tempura broccoli dish from a restaurant called Ekibin. I hope I'm saying that correctly. So he emailed one of the owners, Steve Chu, requesting the recipe, and he was just hoping to get the recipe to try to recreate it for his mother-in-law. Instead, Chu, like, was basically like, why don't I just drive there and make it for you? And he's like, well, it's 6 hours away. Like, why would you actually do that? And he's like, look, man, we got you. We're coming. So he got a crew together. They drove through the night to get to Vermont. They made a makeshift kitchen in the back of their truck in front of his mother-in-law's house, knocked on the door, and hand-delivered it to her. Like, in the winter, in Vermont. I might start crying.
I know. I think just such a heartwarming story, especially when we've just seen so much hate and misunderstanding and racist rhetoric surrounding, you know, the AAPI hatred and violence that has been all over the news, and to just instead turn it around and just be like, Chu is an amazing restaurant owner and chef and a selfless fucking human who drove to help, you know, make a dying woman's last meal and wishes come true. And that is beyond selfless.
Absolutely. And not only that, Chu, like, recognized her, this, you know, the 72-year-old mother-in-law from when she would visit Baltimore, because every time she came into the restaurant to get this dish that she loves so much, she would sing its praises and sing their praises. So they absolutely remembered her. Aww. She, like, is struggling because she has sores in her mouth from having cancer, but managed to completely devour the meal, and then, like, later on cried, saying that it made so, you know, it was meant so much to her. And I just think, yeah. And again, it goes to prove that, like, even during a pandemic, like, people are stepping up, and this is the kind of stuff we've been talking about since the beginning, and always how much restaurants step up, like, and how much food means to people. So I want to work for this restaurant. I want to get a job.
Or just the fact that, yeah, we're putting them on blast. We know we've got listeners in the Maryland area. If you're not familiar with, hopefully we're seeing Ekibin. We'll see. Yeah. Ekibin. Support. Yeah. Clearly this broccoli is fire. Worth your last. Exactly. This broccoli is a fire. I was like, it's to die for. And then I was like,
Brian's going to visit his family in Maryland at the end of April. Maybe we should send him on our behalf to
tell him
take a selfie with some tempura broccoli.
Oh, fuck yes. And I don't care if you bring it home on your carry-on and it's been 4 days. I'll take a bite.
Something tells me that wouldn't be the same, but yeah.
No.
It's prepared in your driveway. Yeah.
Yeah. It loses some of its clarity when it's been mushed around in a takeout container and then jammed into an overhead bin. Now, if that were a food fetish where people are like, we take our broccoli and it spends one day on an American Airlines flight before it returns to our restaurant. Be amazing.
Turning the tempura batter into complete mush.
Yeah.
Really selling this dish now.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. It's seen some things. It's world weary and it's also pissed off at the airlines.
And you can pick it up at Carousel 3.
Yeah. Well, right. Oh God, you know, whatever. Trends are trends. You never know. So sort of staying in that vein, Andrea and I, you know, want to say on behalf of Sidework Podcast that we made a donation to the AAPI GoFundMe. We also realize I was kind of looking back through our guests and we don't have any, if very little, representation of AAPI as guests and as topics culturally. It's absolutely been discussed, but I think sometimes the whole idea of the cuisine that spans Asia is so overwhelming that it, I mean, clearly it deserves its own podcast. But we're not going to be scared. And I think taking a step toward figuring it out is better than doing nothing. So we are committing on air to represent more voices.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm excited to represent more voices and talk about different cultures and experiences. I mean, and especially when it comes to restaurants, right? When we all are just basically doing the same thing, but in a different, you know. Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, if you want to listen to a podcast that does a fantastic job, Michael Munoz with his In Your Mouth just features so many fantastic chefs. There's a lot more spectrum over there. He's killing it. And we will get caught up at some time soon. So if you want a taste for some really fantastic chefs from all across the globe, he's on top of it. Our boy's on top of it. Also, we love his theme song. He's like, I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
And he's like, I'm coming in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
catchy.
I love it. And then his delight at his own rapping skills. It's a great theme song. So in that vein as well, we were on the GoFundMe page today, and this is amazing. So in general, for AAPI awareness and for the money and the funds they've been raising, like, that's millions in and of itself. But then I've seen to each family directly impacted by the terrible murders that happened in Atlanta, each family has had, if not several thousands, millions raised for them, which is fantastic. But the top contributor of the GoFundMe so far is Panda Express with a $150,000 donation, which is really awesome for, you know, a corporation. I'm also like, I'm sure you can do a little more. You guys are everywhere.
I'm gonna ring the bell right there, because that's a Panda Express thing, is when you you donate and you round up to donate with your extra to make it a solid dollar amount at Panda Express, they ring a bell and they all say thank you. Oh, so that is
right on.
Direct shout out to Panda Express.
So yeah, I had to shout them out before I just also start a very interesting thread, which we might have to turn it into a whole episode. There's some detective work that is absolutely needing to be done. But only a few weeks ago, the Washington Post reported that Panda Express staff is forced to strip at a team building seminar that seemed like a cult initiation ritual, lawsuit says.
Panda.
Oh my God.
So I had no idea, but it is Panda Express employees. There is a lot of company sort of team building. It's probably like on par with the way Cheesecake Factory employees or Starbucks employees really get like brought into the business and the brand, but it's so over the top that it's actually a point of pride to be cultish about your employment there. And so they have seminars all the time. Panda Express has their employees go to seminars. And so it's been reported back that it was a bizarre, psychologically abusive four-day seminar that more and more resembled a cult initiation ritual as time went on. And it's a lot of, it's starting to sound like Scientology, where they have a lot of programs that emphasize self-improvement.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it gets deep. I kind of want to do like a true crime dive into this, but let's see. Wait, hold on.
I like that instead of like going up the rungs, you move up the chains, right? Because it's a chain. It's a fast food chain.
It's a chain.
I'm seeing is like they're basically having like they're hugging it out without shirts on. They're like, everybody take your shirts off and hug each other.
Like that's don't mind like, the video camera, you know, like what the fuck? Okay, so but they're calling everything trust building exercises, but it was bullying to take your clothing off. And everyone's like, this is the opposite of trust. So we'll be exploring this story more and bringing you updates as we go. No wonder.
Can I read this one excerpt?
Oh, please.
Okay, from the Washington Post. On one day, seminar participants were told to pretend they were on a sinking ship and that only four of them would survive. On the following day, leaders allegedly filmed them while instructing them to act as if a light was coming above to suck away their negative energy.
Oh,
so
no.
They're basically... I mean, this is very interesting to be like, oh, we hired this like really great person to like put our seminars together. Have you heard of him? He created Scientology. Ron Hubbard.
I know. Wait. And meanwhile, they earn $11.35 an hour.
Yeah.
This is okay. Okay. Here's another excerpt from one of the sessions. This had been exclusively attended by Panda Express employees. So one of the female employees with the allegations she's brought, she found herself stripped of her cell phone, trapped in a room with blacked out windows, and loudly berated by a seminar leader who told her and others that they amount to nothing.
I'm Whoa. So confused.
You know what would build anyway. Trust more? A $15 minimum wage.
That's thank
the
you.
The next time, I swear to God, the next time I go through a Panda Express, which does happen sometimes on occasion, sure. It's a very, you know, it's a choice you have. I'm gonna whisper.
Do you need help?
Do you need help?
Yeah. What's the sign for like, yes, I'll take this, I'll take that, and like, just, you know,
and put a your large
finger on your
pizza.
Nose if you need me to like shuttle you out of here because you're, yeah. being abused.
I have a bunch of blankets you can hide under in my trunk if you need to get out of here. Just, I'll say the word. I can't. Please, let's dive deeper into this.
We'll continue this ongoing saga. I feel like this is possibly our award-winning journalism moment. As we free Panda Express employees from the evil clutches.
Also,
of the
that $150,000 looks a little smaller now in light of this.
Right? I wanted to give them credit, but at the same time, I'm like, this looks like hush money. Who knows? You know what? But fucking give the money over. Whatever. We'll keep you updated.
Absolutely. But now it is time for some server
submitted.
Stories.
Andrea, I'm only sharing one today because this is fucking epic.
Okay.
It is so crazy. I can read it if you want. I don't care who does it.
Whatever happens.
Okay,
man.
Caroline, buckle up, okay. First of all, and I might be so texting nervous. You a photo in a little bit.
Okay.
Of what, because we received a photo of, okay, so the title of this email was The Drain Thang, which is not good. Not good. The Drain Monster. All right, let's start out. Hello, ladies. I've been listening to the pod for about a year now, and I think I finally have something worthy to send y'all. This isn't about awful customers, weird managers, or embarrassing myself in front of guests, although I do have plenty of stories for each. This is a story / cautionary tale about the most disgusting thing that has ever happened to me on the clock, and honestly, my entire life. And don't worry, I'm going to attach a photo. Okay, so let me set the stage. A few months ago, I transferred from a big chain restaurant in California to a store in NYC. Legally, I don't know if I can say the name because this is definitely a house code violation. But let's just say you brought up drinking their huge margaritas in episode 104 around the 40-minute mark.
Okay. All right. That's a good way around it. Yeah.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, this is a chain, baby. Okay. Anyways, I recently moved up to bartender at this place. And as a 19-year-old, oh my God, he's only 19. And as a 19-year-old, I'm living both my wildest dreams and worst nightmare. Now that I'm spending a lot of time behind the bar, I've noticed a faint but distinct smell coming from a drain that I stand over all day. It's a mix of mildew, death, and a hint of citrus. My ice bin, hand sink, bar top, and another drink station all pour into this one floor drain, so it gets a lot of use.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I've asked my managers to just give me some equipment to clean it myself because I've done it at other places, but for some reason they refuse, telling me they will just have the already overworked dishwasher do it. But after 2 months of this odor, tonight I took matters into my own hands. I found myself a long pipe cleaner type brush and jammed it into the pit of despair. When I tried to pull it out, it got stuck within the drain and I began tugging at it, but it wouldn't budge. I knew I was making some progress, though, because the smell was becoming stronger.
Oh, no!
After trying for quite a while, I eventually gave it a big old heave, putting all my body weight into it. Big mistake. Turns out the drain is removable, and it flew out, along with about 8 inches of something I don't even know how to describe.
Oh, my God.
What emerged?
You should see Brian's face right now.
What emerged looked like something straight out of a horror movie, a cross between a tentacle and a decomposing rat tail, but 8 inches of it. My best guess is the accumulation of about a solid year or two of bar gunk.
Ah, I'm sort of horny too. Listen to it.
No. I know. This definitely, the cure for cancer lies within this.
Ooh.
Okay. I should probably mention now that I was not wearing gloves because I thought the long brush would keep me far away from whatever was down there.
It's very fair.
Oh, boy, was I wrong. The pink worm-like growth swung around.
Oh, no.
Wait, hold on. Man. I'm going to do a reveal for you, Caroline. Okay. It swung around. It detached from the drain and flew right onto my hand.
No, that's perfect.
The horror didn't stop there, though. It also gave me a generous dousing of nightmare juice right to the face, neck, and chest.
That's inappropriate.
I never thought I'd say this, but thank God for COVID and horrible eyesight because my mask and glasses saved me from a majority of the spray.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Absolutely.
In the following minute, I went through all 5 stages of grief trying to process what just happened before cleaning myself up physically and emotionally, and then rounded up every server to bear witness to the beast. Reactions ranged from curiosity, fright, and even gagging because at this point the smell had filled the bar.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, boy. For fear of being cast away like a leper, I decided to not tell any of them, of my coworkers, that it had touched my bare skin, and I will die with this secret.
Probably sooner than he would have died anyway because he's such a
He better start the countdown clock. Okay.
Like you wake up and like your hand, like you're turning into the thing. Like,
oh, you've got a tentacle arm. Oh, Christ. It's not okay. It's not okay. Oh, God. Okay. So almost done here. My managers made me sweep it up and throw it away. But I really think it could have been of value to the scientific community. But whatevs. Thanks for reading. You guys are truly amazing, and your stories have helped me to love this industry despite all of the crazy and disgusting things we go through, especially in this shitty year. My first time serving was at 11 years old in my grandma's restaurant when her morning waitress had car trouble. And since then, I've pretty much seen it all. Isn't that amazing? Godspeed.
I love it.
Good tips and clean your fucking drains from Camden.
All right.
And Caroline,
yeah, I gotta see this.
I don't know if.
Oh, no. That's so much worse than I thought. That's
Andrea,
so much
Andrea,
worse.
it's in the document. Scroll down. You want to see?
No, I'm looking at it. I'm Brian. I'm Brian. Is
oh my god, that's
out.
The worst pink.
Oh wait, I gotta do. Someone's gotta do a screenshot.
What
Andrea, can
is,
you do
it? Yeah. Okay. Why is it speckled?
Okay, that's legitimately like a tail. What I envisioned when you first started telling the story was that it would be like a bunch of hair gunk or something, but like that is truly unidentifiable.
It is not. Like that
it
is,
doesn't even. It looks like an intestine. That's all I can
an
say.
An intestine, an umbilical cord.
This is pushed just, beyond because it is extraction stuff, like pulling
like, a
like
Dr. Pimple Popper
out.
Yes.
Pimple Poppers is like a little bit my fetish, and so like I was like, this might
this
be really
is
great
much different.
Like totally when right. Andrea was like feel a little bit horny, I was like, yes, I'm with you, but like
yeah,
that killed it.
Yeah,
the
no.
visual of that
is,
has destroyed any yeah titillation.
It definitely looks like a space alien creature that like or a tremor. It looks like a fucking
yes.
tremor. Like when you smash the head of a tremor and it's all and then it's just the rest of the dead body. This is a tremor, a drain tremor, a Chili's drain. I don't know if it's Chili's drain tremor.
It's like the color of, you know, an E.T. when he's like sick and dying. And
I just brought this up yesterday. Very weird.
That was like I had to stop watching E.T. when that happened. But
yeah,
like,
there's some weird pussy looking yellow patches on this worm. I am. This is nightmare juice, for sure.
He did caption the photo. I call her the Kraken, which
release the Kraken. That's also what I say after I've been wearing my bra all day
yep.
long. When I take it off, I say release the Kraken.
I say release the hounds. But
nice. I like that. I like that a lot.
Also, normalize putting a bra back on. That's note to self, you know.
I love that Camden like worked for his grandma since he at 11 years old, and that's when they got their start. So obviously Camden would be like, I'm gonna get on all fours and clean
yep.
this drain because
nope.
I've been working in the industry for 8 years already at 19 years old.
He already understands the importance of plumbing and how it can ruin a restaurant. If you let stuff
yeah.
back up, you are in trouble.
I wonder if he's yep. like the hero now that like he's eliminated the source of the smell, because that could
mm-hmm.
not have been fun for anyone.
Absolutely. But I really hope that like that restaurant now is not like a John Carpenter movie where who basically that thing is infecting all the other servers in the restaurant.
That's like an appendage of a larger thing that lives deeper. And like
yes.
now I'm like, I want my
right.
fingers
oh.
back.
Spoiler alert, if you've never seen The Thing, sorry, but you should.
Or even it's giving me Stranger Things feels for our
yeah.
younger folks.
It is yeah. very Stranger Things.
Ooh, well that was, I was like, that's a standalone server submitted story. Nothing yeah. can precede it. Nothing can follow it. Thank you, Camden.
Oh, fuck.
And if you have any weird stories about things that live in the drain of your restaurant or bar, feel free to shoot that to us, sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Anybody found an alien or Pennywise, let us know.
Well, we are getting into our topic of the day. You all, you're so welcome. I know you were like, Brooke, Andrea, definitely talk about this topic that makes us all crawl into our shells.
Yeah, like if you weren't grossed out enough by the worm pick, we're going to talk about taxes now.
It's great at parties.
So,
always a hit. Yeah.
Always a hit. So I wrote a fun intro, and I'm going to read it. I said, the tax man cometh. Taxes are a topic that make regular folks run for the hills, but service industry folks are a special breed that really, really, really get freaky when this topic pops up. Is it because the entire industry operates on crime? Is it because we live on tips and most times have no idea what our actual income is? Is it because this country wants to disenfranchise citizens to be afraid of money management? Is it a bit of all three? Joining us today is our dear friend and host of the Brass Taxes podcast. Like we said before, check it out. It's Caroline Craighead again, everybody.
Next time.
So I know when we were chatting, I was on Brass Taxes with Caroline.
Yes.
So you guys can go check out that. And are you up to about episode 6 now?
We're on. I just released the 9th one today.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Because
wow.
you guys are getting and then whatever. So, yes, there are 9 episodes. It's a really great podcast that you get to hear everyone talk very plainly about money and how everyone has a different situation and how everybody harbors fears mm-hmm. and a lot of uninformed beliefs. And Caroline walks them through it. And with some people, she even does their taxes.
Whoa. Is that the incentive of being the guest on the show, is that you do their taxes at the end?
Oh, she didn't. She definitely did not commit to that for every episode.
No. And it's even, I actually like am not even equipped to do taxes right now. I like was working for Brass Taxes is a tax mm-hmm. prep company. And I worked there for like 5 years under my friend Russ Garofalo. He's the one who founded mm-hmm. it. And he now has a bunch of other people working for him. I was telling Andrea earlier, like auxiliary support at this point, because I was mm-hmm. not doing it full time. And so when he hired a bunch of new people, I kind of saw the writing on the wall and was like, you know what, I'm going to step back for this season and let everybody else, you know, get their feet wet. And so, yeah, I handed in my tax computer. I can't even help anyone. I tried to help my neighbor the other day and we were doing it on TurboTax. And I was like, I can't even see the forms. And so I don't know right. how to do this. Like, I'm just in the same morass that you are when I'm looking at TurboTax's interface. Like, I don't know what they're telling you.
But, oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence,
well,
Caroline.
TurboTax, it's more that TurboTax is like hiding things from you. Like reading actual right. tax forms, like the IRS forms and the state forms and everything. I know what they're asking you and I know how to interpret right. it. But like TurboTax purposely will obfuscate what's actually happening. And they've got that little counter that's like, you know, oh, your refund's going up. Oh, it's going down. But like it's.
Oh, my God. They're like business model
reasoning from you. Yeah.
Huh. Oh, my God. Their business model is like, we think everyone's a gambling addict.
Right. And
that's
then you're
really
just trying to game it without actually. But yeah, you have to like. I don't know at any point whether you, I guess you can eventually like see the actual tax forms, but it's only like after you're done. Whereas I would never submit tax forms that I didn't actually look at and see like, right. oh yeah, this is how it's shaking out. And that makes sense. And that's what I wanted to say.
Interesting.
That's really strange.
That's yeah. a great first tip that I'm yeah. like, I would probably do that. But Caroline's here to tell you, take a look at the
not.
Forms.
Yeah.
Before we get deeper into the taxes, tell us, Caroline, your history in the service industry.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I have never worked as a server. I was a banquet server in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Brooke on Brass Taxes that equated to basically like changing out, you know, like... banquet food and
chafing dishes
and just cleaning up half drunk glasses from around like a wedding or a
conference
prom. My own prom was there conferences.
She banquet served her own prom.
So you were basically like a busser and like a errand, like running food at a banquet hall where you grew up.
I moved around a lot, but we like ended up when I was in high school. That's when I worked there. My junior and senior year, I think, of high school, other friends of mine were like, hey, this place that's, you know, not far away from our high school, one friend's like parent worked there. And so got a bunch of us jobs. And and that's what I did for a while. But then I also was working at a summer camp and then realized that I couldn't do both at the same time. I couldn't work at a summer camp the
sure.
whole week and then like on the weekends work the... you know, doubles at the banquet place.
Kid needs a break, for God's sake.
Yeah, I did it for like a month and I was like, the money's not that great.
Yeah, you're like, I just want to be a kid.
I'm going to go party with my friends, yeah.
Correct. It's the correct answer.
But yeah,
so was it like a thing where you picked up like the half empty glasses at a banquet hall where you just like, this is a half a glass of champagne. Don't mind if I do. Like,
I was not. I was much more into weed than I was into drinking at that point and since. But but I remember one time though I got pulled over driving home from working and like it was, you know, 2 a.m. or something after we had wrapped the shift and my, you know, uniform that was like a oversized white button down with like a black vest or whatever was just covered in, you know, all of these juices. And so getting pulled over because I was like speeding and then not like crazy amount, but, you know, enough that I got pulled over. And then the cop asked if I was drinking, and I was like, okay, I understand why you're asking me that, both because I'm speeding and because I reek of alcohol.
I smell boozy.
But no, I was not. And he believed me. I didn't have to take a breathalyzer or anything. Also, because I was like very nervous, and I think maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so
you're
wrong.
Like, I didn't drink any. I am, however, fully soaked and immersed in alcohol.
Yeah. Through the process of osmosis, I am wasted. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yep. Okay, that shit counts, for God's sake. Don't think banquet serving ain't serving, all right?
You're part of the fam. I worked at a candy store, too, but that was definitely not, that's not service.
That was probably annoying. I'm just trying to picture people who are like, candy, give me candy.
Yeah, that was much more tempting in terms of, yeah. Oh, that one broke. That means it's mine. Yeah, I did a lot.
Totally. We love the breaksies means dibs for me, exactly. For sure. Yep. Stories. But before we get down to the nitty gritty, Brooke, we have a public service announcement.
We do. I think it's very important. Okay, guys, tax day is now May 17th. 2020. It was extended because of the pandemic. 2021. Sorry. Is 2017. thank God, Caroline.
We live in a fast vortex.
Yeah.
Yes. What I meant is the 2020 tax season is extended to May 17th instead of the traditional April 15th. So if you didn't hear that, you heard it here first. And this is also really important for everyone to know. If you were successful in getting your unemployment benefits, the first $10,000 of it is tax exempt.
That's right.
That's humongous.
That's a big deal. So breathe a little easier as we, I figured I'd start with good news. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Question. What if you had taxes taken out of your unemployment,
then
do you get it back?
It gets a little complicated because like your unemployment goes in with all of your other stuff. So if there were months where you say at the beginning of 2020 you were working before you went on unemployment, then like you had income from that, and your income tax is assessed on all of your income. So like say you have the right amount being withheld from your unemployment, if it was just unemployment and then suddenly you don't owe that much tax on your unemployment, then yes, you'll get that back in a refund because they would have over withheld. But
yes,
the thing that gets complicated is that it's usually not just your unemployment that goes into your picture of what your income is. And so it all kind of, comes out in the wash.
So everything together will be like a 10,000 of that altogether will be tax exempt, basically.
Yeah. Basically
saying.
Like,
Got it.
Previously that 10,000, I think it's like $10,200, like that amount would have been included in your taxable income. And now your taxable income is $10,200 less than it would have been.
Yes.
As long as it was unemployment. So it's the first 10,000 of your unemployment is tax-free. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good news. I mean, that's like, don't sleep on that, people.
No.
And if you've already filed, it's a little complicated because they didn't have that before. But now like the IRS has caught up. And so if you file now, the IRS will say, okay, great, we're not taxing this 10,000, but the states are still a little messy right now. And I know in New York, they haven't decided whether they're going to follow along, whether they're doing that or decoupling, as I heard what they might do.
Yeah. I don't like that word.
And in that case, they might say like, well, sure, federally, you don't have to pay tax on that. But here in New York State, you do. That's not settled yet. So that's sort of a TBD up in the air right now. And I know at Brass Taxes, we're like, they're sitting on a bunch of returns and not filing them yet until that's decided, because we have, a bunch of people in New York. But in California, they don't tax unemployment anyway. So great.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. So I guess just do your research and see what your state does and then go from there, guys. But but like, why do people get so worked up about taxes?
I mean,
it makes sense. It's just like something everybody has to do. It's a collective. Like, that's how I feel about it. It's like the man dragging you down,
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's like, ideologically, I agree with paying taxes and being taxed for, your money should. Yeah. You earn an income, you pay some tax, and that's how we have as Russ says, like, roads. Not we don't have to see people dying in the streets. Yeah, exactly. And we have streets, right? But they're paved. Yeah. And so, you know, like, I believe in the whole, like, you know, greater good of what taxes do. But I think, you know, the reason why I started learning about taxes and went to work for Russ to do taxes is because I was so pissed that I couldn't understand what was going on with them. And it's like, wait a minute, everybody has to do this, and yet no one can tell me, like, exactly what's going on, or even the answer that I just gave you of, like, well, you know, you might have overpaid on unemployment withholding, but it sort of goes over here into this other area, and all that needs to be figured out. And, like, it immediately goes into the realm of not being able to visualize it, not being able to, I don't know, for me, I'm, like, a very visual person. I want to, like, mm-hmm. see things to understand them. And it, you know, if you've ever looked at an IRS form, you know that this is
no, your eyes go I go cross-eyed and start foaming at the mouth personally.
I feel the opposite of horny immediately.
Exactly. It's like a pink tentacle. Nobody likes it.
No one wants it. Right. And I think what you're saying, too, is like the visualization. That's a huge part of being a server, is like mm-hmm. we literally count our cash. Mm-hmm. Like we fucking I know that a lot more have switched over to the paycheck, but people still tip you cash. And at the end of the day, you're going, this is my money for the week. This is sort of my income. Do you have any sort of go to sort of slogan or a mantra that helps just bring people down and demystifies taxes? Is there a way to describe how we can look at it to not be so triggered?
Okay. I can tell you, like, some things. I don't have, like, a this is the golden rule of, you know, how to demystify
right. You
it.
Don't, but you don't have, like, a tiny little cute little Etsy shop thing that's been hand stitched on your wall.
Oh, I
with
should.
Your
that would be amazing if I just, like, start stitching. Yeah, little.
Fuck taxes.
Remember. You know, one big thing that I think more people should understand, and that kind of helps keep big surprises at bay, mm-hmm. is that when you are, like Andrea said, you know, like with unemployment, you can elect to have withholding. And if you are on a W-2, mm-hmm. as you should be, you know, like if you're working a server job at a real company, you know, that they have you on payroll, meaning that you're not getting all of the amount that you are paid. They are withholding taxes and paying that on your behalf to the government, to the IRS, mm-hmm. and to the state and the city, if that makes sense. And so, you know, that's something that is psychologically way easier for us to deal with, where it's like, I don't have to be thinking about how much of this is mine that I'm getting and how much of this mm-hmm. is not mine. I've put in an estimate when I filled in my W-4 to say, like, here's how much tax you should withhold. And then it's just automated then, where it's taking the money. You're not seeing the money. You see it on your pay stub, mm-hmm. but, like, it's handled. And that's just way easier for us to deal with. But any money that you receive that is not does not have tax withheld,
that is not handled.
It's not handled. And so, and it's treated differently in the eyes of the IRS. Like, you are self-employed if you are not employed. So you're employed if you're on right. if you're on payroll, and if you get a W-2 at the end of the year, that's like, you're an employee. Your employer has certain responsibilities for the money that
and
you get paid.
Someone has, like you can get a W-2, ignore it. Well, they didn't ignore it. They fought, like,
yeah.
So someone has reported you,
right.
you know, on right. their filing behalf. So you if you're on a W-2, you can't pretend that you don't have
that
a part
you didn't get
to
that
do.
Money.
Which,
yes,
like, it, but you're right. You know, right. we're talking about both sides of the coin here. But when it comes to being a server, it's like a hybrid yes. of both the things mm-hmm. we're talking
right.
about.
Right. Absolutely.
That's why it's so complicated.
Definitely. And like, so, and tips falls into that category too, right? Where it's like, well, some yeah. of this shows up on my W-2. So some of this, like, had tax withheld, or some of it's, like, reported to the IRS. And then, you know, depending on where you work and what the situation is, some of it, or maybe all of it, is, you know, cash tips that never got recorded anywhere, you know? And like,
right.
and that's where it becomes tricky, because oh man, I'm trying to remember exactly what the percentage mm-hmm. is. I think it's a quarter.
I always thought it was 10%. Oh.
Well, here's what I'm going
to
say.
You have to claim?
If you hide more than 25%, I think it's 25%, of your income in a year. So if like that much of your income doesn't get reported and then that's called out, like if the IRS finds that out that you hid 25% of your earnings, that's a felony. So like so that's when it becomes like a really big deal. Where like, you know, we always advise people, it's way better to claim all of your income, or at least like, you know, enough of it that you're not near that margin. And then as a self-employed person, if you have money that wasn't taxed, so if you're getting cash tips, like no tax was withheld from that, you're reporting that as self-employment income. And with self-employment income, it gets taxed at a higher rate, but only the profit. So first, you can take expenses against that money. And it's way easier to take expenses against that money. And you only get taxed on whatever's left over after you take expenses. So a way smarter thing to do with tips is to say, yes, I made money that didn't show up on my W-2. But then I, you know, had to drive to, you know, mm-hmm. like this location to work. I had to, you know, have maybe
I had to buy this uniform to work there. I had to
uniform you have to wear. Right.
I had to buy all this alcohol to get through my shift. Like, you know,
or like an online class for enrichment, like learning more about wines or even, you know, whatever.
Also, I'm a server. When I go out to eat, that's research. When I buy this bottle of wine, it's me doing my homework and learning about wine. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of ways to get around
absolutely
it, right?
And also, you know, say that you're on the side also, you know, a ceramicist or something, and that's not something that you make a bunch of money at, but you're trying to make money at that, and you have mm-hmm. your server job in order to like support your life. Some of that money that you're making as a server, you're spending on pottery classes and on a wheel and on firing it and, you know, like all of this other stuff that you might be making, you might be operating at a loss for something else that is mm-hmm. considered a business by the IRS, as long as you are trying to make money. In some years you do make some money. And so it doesn't have to necessarily live in this silo of the only expenses that I'm taking against my, you know, my untaxed income is just for where this money came from. You can look sort of at a broader picture of your life and like, mm-hmm. well, I'm also operating as a self-employed person who is, like a musician, like I'm spending money on band time and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like here's an example, like two of our friends are trying to grow their online following and putting money into production and mm-hmm. these videos to get like sponsorships and to be, you know, and to become this personality who, you know, gets like branded deals or gets like to put in ads or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I think even that falls in the realm because you can show the time. Like our friend Drew, there's clearly a wig budget going into his videos, but equipment, all that
wigs
stuff, props.
Cheap. Yeah.
Nope, they are not. Not especially if you want a nice one.
That's right.
Okay, that was unknown to me completely.
Yeah.
Already learned something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when it comes to taxes, we just have to do the bare minimum. It is a really interesting thing to like think about yourself and who you are, because this is your money that you earned and you should be able to like reap the benefits with taxes because like you're living your life. This is very interesting. Like think about yourself first, right? Obviously.
And just like recognize,
don't be afraid.
It's not, you know, it's not gaming a system to know that the IRS sees you as a business if you're self-employed. If you're making money that didn't come through like a W-2, you know, system that didn't come mm-hmm. through payroll, you are a business in the eyes of the IRS. So start thinking of yourself as one and start looking at your life and saying like, what am I spending money on that has a profit motive, quote unquote, meaning that I'm spending this money in an effort to try to make money. So yeah, like, you know, for a lot of our clients who work in entertainment and stuff, you know, things that a lot of us spend money on and don't even think about, like Netflix and, you know, like mm-hmm. ordering books and things like that. If you're doing that in order to stay abreast of the field and to know what's out there and to like be able to see like, oh, okay, I've watched this and I see that that person's in it and they maybe would be good in my short and blah, blah, blah. Like that is research that you're doing. That's, you know, expenditures that you have that are not just because you're kicking back and watching TV. It's because you are engaged in trying to, yeah, like be a self-employed person totally. In that industry. Yeah.
Well, this gives you stock also. And let's mention if you're looking to do something like buy a house or invest in something, to have more of this on paper mm-hmm. is going to look better in the eyes of financial lenders if that's something you want to go down the road. But, you know, we talk about not reporting 25% of your taxes. We all have been in the industry forever. And everybody who's listening, what's the difference between like truly fraudulent behavior versus someone who just didn't report $23,000 of their tax from working at Fishbone Grill? Like, you know, because this is what happens all the time. Is the federal government turning more of a blind eye to servers? Are they, you know, is that, I would assume so, because it's such a weird.
I mean, it's also like with the IRS, they are criminally underfunded. And so, which is like great in some cases, because like they're, you know, right. doing fewer audits. They're not, you know, as cracking down as compliance as much as they would if they were fully funded. But it also sucks because it means that then, you know, higher tier earners are getting away with things that, you know, they would otherwise.
Of course.
Down on.
Right.
But they have right. to, they're looking at everything like with a cost benefit analysis too. They're saying like, all right, am I going to go after this, you know, server who earned like $18,000 during the year to potentially recoup like a couple $1,000s in taxes? Or are we better served somewhere else where we can like really prove the case or whatever? Another really important thing to keep in mind is that if you get audited, that does not mean that you are in trouble necessarily.
No.
Like it just means that they want more information.
Yeah. Got
it. We talk about it as being like a research paper that you've been assigned. And then you have to like show your work for how you got the numbers that you put on your tax return by digging up receipts
annotated
and stuff.
Bibliography, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I've been audited and there was no work. There was nothing to show them. I was just like, yeah.
You were like, you got me.
Good job.
Makes sense.
And then that happens. You kind of respond. And then basically they're like, you didn't report like $17,000 or something like that. And they're like, you will owe this much of, you know, taxed on, you know, the $17,000, and let's set you up on a payment plan.
Yeah,
dum-dum.
set up that old payment plan.
Yeah.
I as someone who is self-employed or was for a long time before some laws changed in California, I have a CPA that I would go through. And this is, I think, if you're self-employed and making us over a certain amount of money, those CPAs will help you do all this stuff. Yeah. They'll just do all this stuff for you and set you up on a quarterly payment plan. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Like every quarter I would mail a check to the government. So then at the end of the year, you're set up and flush and still get a return, but you're at least covering your basis.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it is it's difficult psychologically to like have that money all year and to think of it as untouchable. You know, I have a client
right.
who like, or I had a client who would move her money into like a bank, a different bank, like one of those online only banks where she like would forget about it until the end of the year. Cause mm-hmm. otherwise it's like,
we have
our guest on this week's show that just came out, Miles Kane, is like, yeah, I would like to save, but that's one click away, you know, like you can just move it over into checking again very easily.
And then you could be like, I'm just going to take $100 off it. I'm just going to take another $100 off it. And then there's nothing left.
Oh, it can't. No, it needs to. You need to set up a situation where two people are turning that big bank vault lever mm-hmm. at the same time. And like,
like there's two keys yep, have to turn at the same time.
Synchronized keys. It needs to be that level of away from me, because I would guess, especially when you don't earn a lot, I have a psychological problem of I love to keep everything in checking to make it feel like I'm rich.
Flush.
Yeah, that I'm flush. And it's very stupid. So there's just a lot of mind games we all play that are deeply personal when it comes to money. And most of us don't have a parent who sits us down and gives us financial advice at the time we're willing to listen to it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just like in hindsight, like, well, why the fuck did you do that? But, you know, and I'm like, what? I don't know anything, you know.
Nobody taught me how to do this.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, you know, based on fear too, that like, you know, I think a lot of people, generationally, like, don't really have, you know, their mind right about money, and then, you know, pass that on, or just don't talk about it because they don't know, you know, right, what yep. the right information is to pass on, or even just what expectations are. Like, I remember my dad being like, I don't understand. Like, you went through college, you graduated. Why don't you have a $40,000 a year job right away? Like, that's what his expectation was, that that's what was going to happen. And I was like, oh, no, that's not happening in my. I worked no. for free for like a year and a half before anyone would hire me to do something remotely close to what I wanted to do. And
you're like, no, 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 not yeah, at all. Yeah. Not at
it's
all.
It's a very different world, I think, than it was, you know, a couple generations ago. But.
Oh, well, Brian and I were just talking about it, that. What were you saying, Brian? Like, when you're graduating from college, it was like the chances of getting a job, it was like 30 to 1. Oof. Like,
no, it was the disparity of CEO
yes.
Incomes versus starting salaries. And it used to be in 1968, it was like 20 to 1, and now it's 320.
Yeah. Oh. Meaning that, like, whoever was working Ouch. On the shop floor was only making, yeah, like one, yeah, like the 30 times what they made, or 20 something times what they made is what the CEO made. But, like, yeah, now it's insane. Now it's like astronomically far apart.
Yeah.
And
even that being said, I think it's, and I've been saying this for years, I think that we're talking about normalizing things today. I think that finances need to be normalized. I think there should be required courses in high school, 100%. In junior high, in college, yeah. that so you can wrap your head around credit and taxes and how you live your life financially, to, again, not put the fear of God into you, and not purposely, in a capitalistic society, like, feel like you're helpless, mm-hmm. right? And then there's people that know things, and you're someone who doesn't know something. And I think we need to, like, take hold and be stronger about our position on this.
Absolutely.
Well, like anything we're learning, where it's just like, this country works really great when those of us who are middle class and below keep ourselves in the dark. It's, you know, the government and many of these standard systems that we live by, it's their worst nightmare when we get right. educated.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying all systems in place are bad or evil, but some of them really are. Like, the like, you know, it's just more empowering yes. for yourself and to make your money work for you, which I believe is like a slogan of some bank or something yeah. like that. But there's a lot of truth in that. Don't just work for your money, make your money work for you. Mm-hmm. And we were talking to the co-host of the Modern Waiter podcast, and I think there is a new generation cropping up of early 20-something servers who, because there are apps that are speaking in like a lot more plain and easy to understand yes. money market language, that a lot of young people are, they're in the markets, mm-hmm. you know, and that is like unthinkable, unheard of for us being like millennials oh, yeah. at the top end of it. There was no internet or an app to make it seem like, okay, I'll take like 20 of my dollars and put it in here and it will divest and go all over the place. And then, you know, you see all whatever. It's just, technology is helping make the younger generation smarter and savvier.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting shift too, in terms of, you know, like, I feel like I was always raised with the idea, and I hear it echoed a lot, of like, you know, you have to earn your living, you know, like, go make your money, like, by right. working for it. But then right. I'm and like, then well, wait a minute. Like, all of these people right. who are invested in the stock market, they're not making their money. They're, like, reaping yeah. the benefits of, you know, corporations that are disenfranchising workers in order to rack up major profits and benefit their shareholders.
Yeah, they literally work the system. Yeah. Like, that's what they do for a right. living.
And but, so somehow that's okay. But like, people who right. are working minimum right. wage jobs, like, shouldn't be allowed to afford to live. That's
right. Right.
Unreal.
So getting back to taxes and being a server, we have some very basic questions yes, for you today. So what are allowances?
Oh, allowances. Okay. So this is when you start a new job, they'll give you a mm-hmm. W-4, and through terrible branding, a W-4 corresponds to a W-2. So if you're on payroll, you're going to get a W-2 at the end of the year. But first, you get your W-4. And the W-4 is just an informational worksheet where you're telling payroll, here's what's going to happen at the end of the year is I'm going to file my tax return, and this income needs to be taxed appropriately so that when I file, the right amount of tax has been taken out throughout the year. So you start a job, you get a W-4, and it says, okay, what are your allowances that you're claiming? And allowances are basically, like, in very basic terms, how many people are going to be on my tax return? Like, how many people is this income supposed to be taken care of? So if you are one person, then technically you should be putting claiming one allowance. If you claimed zero, you're not lying. Like, that's fine. It's not a, you know, you haven't like done anything wrong by Phil. You can basically put whatever you want on this form. I mean, it messes stuff up, but it's not.
I was always taught zero. I was always like, just put zero,
girl.
Yeah,
and the reason you would do that is because then it will withhold as though you are not claiming the personal exemption that you as one person are allowed to claim. So a personal exemption is on your tax return where it's like, I'm one person. Actually, I think under the new tax rules, they've got rid of personal exemptions. Anyway, but it's supposed to be like, if I'm one person, there's a certain amount of income that's going to be tax-free. If I'm five people on one tax return, there's even more money that's going to be tax-free because each person is allowed a certain amount of money tax-free.
Got it. And these are like children, people that you look after that are dependent on you.
Right. I mean, the tax code was written when it was like, the husband goes off to work and the little wifey stays at home and raises the kids. So like legitimately.
Right.
And that's a reason why to put zero as well is because like say that you are a married person and both of you work, which is very normal now. If you both put two allowances, then your income collectively is being taxed as though you're having tax withheld as though collectively you're going to claim four allowances because it's two on
each.
Got it. And so that really messes it up. So if you put zero, you're saying like, don't factor in any of that shit. Just withhold like as though no one's appearing on my tax return. And therefore, they will withhold more tax. And then you'll get a greater refund at the end of the year. Now, I don't want to get like too in the weeds, but something that happens a lot with servers and with a lot of other people who I've worked with is that you don't just have one W-2 job during the year. You know,
you might
be someone who has tons of, you know, you have like six W-2s. This is not unheard of, you know, to have, like I've had clients who had 12 W-2s during the year
because
they like work in, you know, production jobs.
I've had a couple of those years.
Yeah. And so that the system wasn't built to factor that stuff in. It's still built on just one person, like one household has one W-2. So what you have to do is absolutely in that case be putting zero on everything. And even so, you might end up owing tax at the end of the year because what the W-2 is really doing is it's saying, or what payroll's doing is it's looking at one pay period and it's like, how much are you getting paid by this one job during this one pay period? I'm going to take that information and then multiply it out throughout the whole year. So it's like, if you make, you know, $500 per pay period, then how many pay periods are there in the year? I'm going to multiply it by that. That's how much money you're going to make this year. So say it's, you know, not a lot that you're getting from this one job, from this one W-2. Then it's going to say, oh, if you're only making, you know, like $10,000, $20,000 a year or something, then it's going to factor in that some of your money is not going to be taxed and it's going to withhold too little. And so if you have a bunch of W-2s that are all doing that, then they're all under withholding. And then that's when people get surprised by a big tax bill at the end of the year. So if you have multiple W-2s, definitely, I would say, check in with an accountant and be like, what can you do? And you can opt to like have them withhold more as well. You can put that on your W-4. Instead of the allowances, you can just be like, you know what? Zero and withhold another $50 per pay period. And that works for some people.
Yeah, it's a good fail-safe for sure.
That was a long answer to your question.
No, it's actually, you actually answered like other questions that we had while explaining that. Specifically about having, you know, too much withheld or do you owe too much? And so you checked the boxes, which is great. You know, you talk about not understanding your own taxes. Is there another, I mean, it's such a personal story for you to want to get into that. I mean, Brooke, you got audited.
Yeah. And that was just like, that was me being like, I feel lucky. Let's see if they notice. And it's like, they noticed. That was like age 29 or something like that. But in general, for a few of my first years in New York City, and I talked about this with Caroline on her podcast, I just was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Half the time I had a laptop that didn't work, or I was siphoning a Wi-Fi signal off a neighbor upstairs. Like, I just did not have my shit together. So the idea of gathering documents, being responsible, I was just like, sorry, not for me. And like, did not report any of my restaurant earnings for a few years in a row, and started to wear it like an albatross around my neck, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh,
and the fear, anytime something came up, I was like, I'm definitely going to federal prison. And
those were also back in the days too, where like internet was there, but you'd have to go to the post office to pick up your big packet.
It was too much. I couldn't handle my life in New York City beyond just, you know, making it to work, making it to a show, going home. That was about all I could do any day. But the thing that I did was, you know, I think I admitted to my mom. That's usually step number one. I'm like, hey, mom, you know, and then she's like, now what did you do?
Just by the tone.
But
yeah.
Exactly. But I started like, I had to walk past an H&R Block, and just basically finally one day was like, okay, I've got my papers, I've got my W-2s, I've got all this stuff. And I'm like, I've got 3 years. And I thought that they were just going to be like, 911, she's here, you know, and
send her away.
Totally. And there are periods of which you can get to it. You can, even though I hadn't like gone the route of filing extensions on purpose, like nothing happened to me for not reporting. I know this maybe isn't like great advice and you could clean it up, but the thing that I was so scared of doing was like, I basically filed back taxes for years where I didn't report anything. Mm-hmm. There may have been some little fee that I don't know, but it worked out. I had so much money coming back to me.
Oh yeah. If you had
so much money.
Yeah, if you had like, you know, if you were on W-2s and you had tax mm-hmm. withheld, the only way to get that back as a refund is to file and to show.
Exactly.
So like they can be sitting on, yeah, the episode that we just put out with Miles Kane, he had not filed for like 10 years or something. And and had like bills saying that he owed $80,000 in taxes because he just was self-employed and just never dealt with it because no one explained to him, as no one explains to anyone, that like how you're supposed to handle it. And, you know, he was not making a ton of money, but like it snowballed. And the IRS will assess when they're sending you those letters, if you're ignoring and not filing your taxes, they're going to like see what they can see about what you got paid. Like even if you're paid with like a 1099, that 1099 gets reported to the IRS and it says like, hey, I paid this person $5,000 this year.
Right,
so they know
right.
you're making mm-hmm. money. And they, what they're doing is not factoring any expenses. So if you haven't filed,
right.
they're like, the full amount that you made, we're going to assess yep. the full amount of tax on that. And that's what we're going to bill you for. But if you go back and you're like, well, yeah, I made that money, but I also had all these expenses and I can claim mm-hmm. my exemptions and blah, blah, blah. Then that money, that figure comes down. But basically, there's no benefit. You're probably not going to go to jail right away. And in fact, anytime you're communicating with the IRS, they're not terrible. Like they are serious, but there's no benefit to waiting. Like it really, the
right.
sooner, even if you haven't filed taxes for 10 years, the stuff makes your stomach turn.
Yep.
You're going to feel better sooner. The sooner you yes. get on top of it and just like,
it's just
go to
like
someone.
Going to the go to the dentist, yeah. guys, go get a checkup. It's in that
right.
vein. It's in that
right.
realm.
Let them like they want to help yourself, yeah. if that makes sense. It's yeah, it's
Plus,
not
it
as
it feels good. It feels good to
oh
get your shit together.
Just having a
the
real number
weight.
Of like, oh, okay, now that I've dealt yep. with this, like maybe your tax debt doesn't disappear, but it's like it's something now manageable. Or It does disappear, and it's like they owe you money. Like, that feels insane. Like that.
And you're like, say what? Yeah. Like, that's what I
And just to feel then like, okay, I'm on top of it. Because it's one of these things like, no one loves it. You don't have to love it. Like, it's just a fact of, you know, like, of life. And, I mean, not that I love it, but it's like, I do believe in this as a system, you know, like, and I'll call people, cops and be like, I'm a taxpayer, you know, like,
and exactly.
I actually don't call myself but anyway,
No. I think the takeaway, you know, is just like evading taxes is just not an option unless you're a ridiculous rich person who lies like our former president and whatever, because the truth is the rich can tangle everything up in the system a lot longer. Yeah. If you're a regular poor person who's just like, I don't want to pay, it is so easy to come get you and find you. It's so ridiculous. It's very, very easy to audit and go after low-income people because there's usually like two pieces of paperwork. Yeah. The reason we can't nail like the president and other CEOs is because there's just like legal ramifications. They have to, it's just this whole shit show of being this complicated billionaire mess, which is really hard and mucks up the gears in the system. So yeah, you might see these like playboys who are, you know, everyone's like, yeah, they don't pay taxes or they did get nailed or whatever. That shit ain't a poor person game. Sorry.
No.
It's not, it just isn't.
And it's expensive.
And I will say
paying somebody to do it for them. Yeah.
Yes. And like wrapping up, and I will add one more personal thing, which you already talked about. If you guys have different incomes on different levels, if you're married or have a partner or sharing an income that you're reporting together, hiring somebody who knows what they're doing, who can get you the best return for an extra few hundred dollars a year, in my opinion, is so worth it. And it is so much weight off my shoulders. And to just be like, oh, you're the professional. Here you are. Thank you so much for doing that for me. What other sources do you, Caroline, like, would you send people to if they're getting started and they need resources to go to?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good books. Like, when I started learning about this stuff, I'm going to, like, try to look up these books while I'm talking to you.
But, I mean, we should certainly send them to Brass Taxes.
Oh yeah. Goes without saying. And yeah, I mean, exactly what you were saying, Andrea, about, like, think of it as a video game that you're only playing once a year. Like, you're not going to get to the boss level, like, if you only play it once a year. But people who are playing it thousands of times a year, like, they're probably going to know some cheat codes that you don't, you know, not that it's cheating necessarily, but like,
right. They know the language, they speak the language.
And especially like somebody who knows your industry is so important because let me see. Freelancers.
I think it sounds so professional that we can hear you typing. I know, right? It just really adds to
the... I got one of these like cool keyboards that, yeah, you can like hear all the time. Anyway, I'll have to figure that out. Anyway, what was I saying? Shit.
Hiring a CPA. Hiring a CPA who knows what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. And like, it just makes it, it means that you can think about it less. And also just like people will ask me like, oh, why don't I just go to TurboTax or whatever? And I'm like, well, do you have any questions? And because like, good luck if you're just using computer software that, you know, if you go to somebody who like, oh, that's what it is. Go to somebody who knows your industry, like go to somebody who works with other people who work the way that you work. If you can find anyone like that, you know, and at Brass Taxes, we've got a lot of our clients are in like the entertainment industry, which also means a lot of people in the service industry. We've got, a lot of people who are, we have like journalists, we have teachers, we have people who work for nonprofits, people who have their own nonprofits. Like, we have a lot of different people, but the reason that they come to Brass Taxes is because, like, I mean, it's crazy how common the story is of like, well, I went to my parents' guy, you know, and who was like behind some mahogany desk and has only ever worked with people who have like one W-2 job and then investments.
Right. 9 to 5. Yeah. 9 to 5 lifers.
And they were like, you know, charged me per 1099 that I hand them. And, you know, if you're anyone who's freelanced before, you know that that's like a scam, you know, like it's not, they're just not familiar with it. They're not looking for it. They're not asking you like, oh, Did you, you know, like have any expenses related to this? Because I know that, you know, oh, it looks like here that you're trying to be a playwright. Like, what shows did you see? How much did you pay for all of your tickets this year? Mm-hmm. You know, things that are related. And, yeah.
And can we be honest, like that generation in general, like looks down their nose on the occupation.
Yeah.
In some ways. I mean,
things
I'm not,
have really changed.
Things have just changed. And if you're seeing, like you said, like your parents' accountant who's only ever dealt with people who have the same career for 40 years, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think the takeaway is that this is very achievable, you guys, if you're scared of it. Check out Brass Taxes. We will absolutely post about Caroline's podcast. We can post those books that she was talking about if you have questions that way. if you know the person at your small business that like does the books for the restaurant, that does your payroll, maybe ping them. That's a way to get into it. But we hope that this has been really informative. I mean, my mind is always blown. I always learn new things when you start talking about, I don't know why taxes seem fucking taboo, but like they do for some reason.
People get really uncomfortable talking about their money, and it makes sense. It's something that like feels very personal. We tie a lot of our feeling of worth into like how much money that we're making and what we're spending it on, et cetera. And it goes into like levels of psychology that, you know, like I don't even understand.
Yeah.
But something that we do talk a lot about at Brass Taxes and that, you know, brings everybody who works there is very much of the mindset of like, we get that. We get that it's something mm-hmm. that's uncomfortable and that it's not like where you want to be spending your time. It's also like, you know, you having the tools to make the right decisions about your money or to like know, okay, I'm in good hands, I'm not fucking mm-hmm. this up, gives you more creative freedom. You know, like if you understand mm-hmm. how much tax you're going to owe at the end of the year, like then you know how much money you have during the year and you know like
so
that
good.
You can spend it on certain things or like, oh, hey, if I buy this new computer, I understand that that's going to save me on taxes. And so that becomes a more worthwhile investment than if I didn't know that, you know, things that...
Own your shit. Own your shit, guys, is what we're saying. What an excellent adult birthday to be talking about taxes on my birthday this year, guys. I'm going to say that. but yeah, I think this is great. I hope, and again, I hope you guys learned something. Thank you again, Caroline, for joining us. You guys, please check out Caroline's podcast. Where can we find
it?
It's
on all the podcast
Everywhere.
Places, Brass Taxes,
all over. If you guys have amazing stories about taxes and when you learned how to do it or your anything comes to mind with this, please, of course, send those server submitted stories our way. Oh my God. Yes. I feel relieved just talking about it.
Thank you so much for, providing this space.
Absolutely.
I think it's helpful for people to know that it's like, if it's something that's scary for you, like you're not alone. It's scary for a lot of people and it's just better if you bring it out in the open. Yeah.
Oh man, so much. Well, Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Indeed I do. Godspeed and good tips.
Good reported tips.
That's right. Good tax.
Can't report
refund.
Cash though. Can't report cash. Can't trace it.
Just can't find you it. Know, just... You can't find that cash, Mr.
Like
Man.
That pink tentacle. Just hide it away.
Yep. All right. We're done.
We're done. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.